Now, let's welcome our opening keynote speaker, Daniel Nane Alejandres. Nane is a veteran activist in California's Latino communities, struggling to stop what he calls the madness that destroys our youth. Nane is the founder of Barrios Unidos in 1977, located in the city of Santa Cruz. Acknowledged as one of the nation's most impressive grassroots organizations addressing issues of youth violence and gangs. Nane has been recognized for his inspiring efforts and is a recipient of numerous awards, including the National Fellowship of Reconciliation Martin Luther King Jr. Award, and just recently received the Human Rights Award. I am proud to present Nane up to the stage.
Buenos dias. How's everybody doing? Eso, wake up. First and foremost, I want to thank those that invited me to come, you know, because this room has great spirits in this room. Since the first time that Jose Olivas invited me out here and came out here, you know, Angela Davis has been here. Dolores Huerta, my hero, has been here. This room has a lot of energy, but the energy comes from you because you bring that energy in here. And John and I and Pedro and all of us have been through this. You know, if we can come here and talk all day, but if you're not sitting where you're at, it makes, you know, then we haven't done the work. So, again, I want to thank everybody for inviting me. And I want to thank the Creator for giving me one more day, you know, because a couple of years ago I was diagnosed with cancer. And, you know, it was like I've been through a bunch of stuff, you know, the war, the drug addiction, the violence. This guy shoved the knife up my throat, my neck right here, but he didn't go deep enough. So, you know, I've survived all that. But when they told me that I had cancer, it just kind of like just blew me away. And for those of you that have relatives, you know, that may be going through this, you know, it's hard, man. It's hard. And I had to gather my children and let them know that their dad had been diagnosed with cancer and you know, all this stuff. And they're going, but Dad, man, you've been doing all this stuff, trying to, you know, work for the people and all this. And you get this. I said, hey, you know, Creator's got plans for everybody. But, you know, come this February, because I don't believe in giving up. You know, I don't believe in giving up. I went to the sweat lodge. We have a sweat lodge up in the mountains. I went up there and I prayed. And, I went to ceremonies and I talked to people. And my doctor told me one thing. He said, Nane, I like this dude, man, because he always wants to go to Cuba with me, you know. He says, I give you 10% medicine. The rest is up to you. I said, all right. I can deal with that. So it was up to Nane to turn that attitude. So when they shoot me up with, you know, that poison, it comes all the way up to your head and then goes all the way down and pump. And it kind of numbs you for a while. And you can stay numb if you want to. Just like many people in this country are numb. But I know there's not a numb person in this room because you're here. And what I'm trying to get to that is that in February of this year, my doctor says, Nane, I don't know what you've been doing, man, but we can't find no cancer. You know, so praise, you know, thank you, Creator, for one more day. I also want to dedicate whatever comes out to my relatives that are incarcerated in Pelican Bay State Prison. I got 22 relatives in institutions throughout this state. And also to all my relatives that have died. You see, I went through this university from 77 to 81, and I lost 8 relatives while I was here in school to violence, drugs, and alcohol. And I tried to graduate, and I graduated. But I kind of, you know, I lied through my graduation because I intimidated people through my graduation. I intimidated people at the financial aid. If I didn't get my check, you know, I go out there with my homies and we get my check, you know. And I intimidated people because I was intimidated within myself. I want to dedicate to my special homeboy, Ruben Molina. Ruben was my homie since we were kids, you know, hanging out. He died in March. And also to the young lady, Sarah, I didn't know her, but it hurts that such a young activist, young person, we lose them, you know. And what I guess the message that I want to present today is that don't take it for granted with what you got. Okay? We can't take for granted that we're going to be here forever. Rosa Parks, Edward Roybal, you know, two great people that we just lost. But, you know, last night, as I was coming over here, David said, hey, Nani, man, homie died up there, man. I said, what are you talking about? I said, homie died in Sacramento last night. I said, what are you talking about? He said, you don't know that, because I had forgotten. There was a homeboy hanging on to his life that got attacked and got beaten, and last night he died. You know, nobody knows him. Nobody knows who he is. I mean, his family knows him, but he's not a famous person. He's just a homeboy that got beaten up and died last night. And the thing today is to hope that there's no retaliation and another person dies. So I want to dedicate this talk for him too. Sometimes we go through life and people make changes, you know, come in within your life and they give you an inspiration. It's hopefully that we can give you some inspiration today. I want to give my respects to John Laird. When I started here in UC Santa Cruz, see, Barrios O'Neill was born in UC Santa Cruz in 1977 as a student. It was born out here at Oates College and Merrill College and the student housing. It was born there. And we wanted to do something about it. We wanted to stop the violence in the streets. And some of us had been lucky enough to make it here to the university. And we could not forget those that we left behind. And for those brothers and sisters that come from those communities where it's concrete jungles, where there's violence, and all of a sudden you come into this beautiful place and you look around and you say, what the hell did I get into? You know, you start to, you know, you sometimes you can't relate. So you look for things. You look for people. You look for situations where you can, you know, oh, man, I like the way those people move over there. No, these people over here. We look for people that we can relate to. So John, he did something for me that he probably doesn't even know. You know, in 1980, I was on my last year, I was trying to organize politicians to hear about what was happening to young people on the streets. And I gathered five Chicano mayors in the city of Watsonville. And, you know, I had to go look for these guys because, not you know, 1980, not too many Chicano politicians. And so we came to Watsonville. I invited all the city council from Watsonville, invited every politician in Santa Cruz. And when we had the conference, nobody came. And here we are trying to deal with the issue of violence in 1980. But you know, John came. John came and he sat there and he says, Nani, what can I do to help you? What can I do? And that's the kind of man he is. So John, I've never forgotten that day, man. And always, you know, I'd always support John and whatever he does, you know, because he is from a full spirit. He's from a good spirit. Very few people. And we're lucky to have him here in this county. So all my respects, John. You know, one of the things that I've when I came here to UCSC, I found out where the money was at. You know, and I said, man, I'm going to do something here because, you know, when you grow up in the streets, you learn how to hustle and you learn how to survive and you learn how to do things. So when I came to UCSC, I was coming from a farm worker family out of Fresno, California. If I hadn't come to Santa Cruz you know, my homeboy John, man, we were just remembered. We came in here all GQ'd in 1977. We had sunglasses, you know, looking all 70s. And they stopped us over there at the entrance, and there was a protest going on. and all these hippies, you know, going out there marching. And me and homeboy, all GQ, they said, with a sunglass. I said, man, I guess we're going to walk. We had to, you know, our Stacy Adams, man, we had to, they walked us all over campus and we ended up in Porter College from the entrance. And we walked in here and we said, you know what? This is a good place, man. I think we're going to come up here and do some things. But what it was is that I was looking for a way out. I was looking for a way out of the madness. That year, 1977, 20 people had been killed around me there in the neighborhood, and I was looking to better the situation in my life. And in terms of how do we get involved in, how do we get involved in activism, you know, I heard the voice of a man, of an Indian man, back in the 70s, back in the 60s, and this man was Cesar Chavez. And he was talking about organizing. He was talking about better wages and social change. And I didn't know what that meant, but I know that we were getting paid $1.65 an hour, and that wasn't enough, you know, for the melon fields that we were working in. So me and a couple of homeboys, we called a strike. And we were on the strike for about 3 hours. We held the machines, and we wouldn't move. There's eight of us. We wouldn't move. We're all 17, 16 years old. And we stopped the production of these machines. And the contractor and the grower came, and they said, what are you guys doing? I said, wow, we can't go for $1.65 an hour. We were the lowest paid individuals. And, you know, we talked for a while, and so the contractor said, okay, I'll give you guys $1.95. And we looked around and said, all right, we go for $1.95. It wasn't $1.95, because we knew that wasn't it. It was the fact that eight young people stood up to the growers and stop the machinery. So I know that you could do it, you know. And that was one of my first introductions into the movement, into trying to organize. Yeah, when I went to Fresno City College, and in Fresno City College, it was like you knew where you belong. You know, it was blacks here, Chicanos here, whites here, and others. And you didn't cross those lines. You didn't have one or two coming back and forth. But you didn't cross those lines. When I came to UC Santa Cruz, you know, people were saying, hey, hello to you, you know, hello. I said, well, what do you want, man? You know, like I had my defenses up all the time. But see, I not only came to UC Santa Cruz with a wanting to learn, I came with a drug addiction. I was a heroin addict. I came back a heroin addict from Vietnam, from a war in Vietnam in 1971. And I stayed a drug addict all of my time that I was here in UC Santa Cruz. And I'm only mentioning this because sometimes you, as students, as young people, you think that it's okay to party and to get in, but you don't realize that you could lose your life, you know, in one of these drug addictions or these drinking binges. And I'm not into, you know, you do what you got to do. I'm just telling you that I used to shoot dope in some of the bathrooms in here. And then I go to my class. And I was able to make it with honors in my major and my thesis. But see, my children, I had two children, and I put them through hell because I would spend all my financial, whatever money I was getting, I was spending it. And I was lying through my neck, side of my neck. I was talking through the side of my neck. And what I'm telling you is that if you're here and you come from one of those communities that I came from, you ain't got time to get loaded. Because you got to get busy and you got to get back. You got to educate yourself. You got to get some knowledge. And then you got to go back because you are in the shoulders of many. As Rosa Parks, you know, you're in the shoulders of many people. Chicano people, black people, they struggle for you to be here. Because they just didn't open up this campus. You know, John can tell you how many people of color were here when he started here. Barrios Unidos is an organization that began to try to stop the madness in our streets. Today, we operate out of 1817 Soquel Avenue. We have a piece of land in downtown Santa Cruz. You all know how expensive it is around here. We have 2 acres of prime real estate on Soquel Avenue. We used to hit up. I used to go over here on the corner over here and shoot dope and look at the city and say, man, one of these days I'd like to have an organization down there. Man, that looks good. Man, people like to come to Santa Cruz. Man, we could do a whole lot of things. And my job around my homeboys that I went to school with said, Nana, you're going to stay here in Santa Cruz. You're going to try to develop something. We'll be back later. We're going to go get educated. And a lot of those homeboys have gotten educated. And my job was to do that. It was a struggle. It's been a struggle. You know, progressive Santa Cruz is not as progressive as it lends itself to be. It's progressive for some. And if you still see the city council, we're still not. If you see the departments in department heads in Santa Cruz, it ain't right. And we got to call it the way we got to call it. And even though John is my friend, you know, he knows it. And he knows what kind of change needs to be happening. So we need you to be involved. The acquiring of this property allowed us to put us in a different space. See, as the Chicano movement started, they didn't really leave us a roadmap for us to continue. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to develop this center for the next generations. Because my people talk about seven generations. We must prepare for seven generations so that they can continue to survive. Those that have come through Barrios Unidos have been able to be at different levels. We have a young man by the name of Stevie Hill that came through here that is now calling the elections in Liberia. You know, works for the United Nations, doing the whole elections. He's been to Sri Lanka, has been Sierra Leone, out of UC Santa Cruz. So we have warriors throughout this whole world. Let me talk a little bit about the war, because you know whenever I hear someone about talk about Iraq, it just sends chills down, because I know what war does, and I know what war did to me personally, and why we must stop his war. So everyone that's out there to protest, to really get in it, to look at what the issues are about this war, and we know it. We know it, but we must get out on the streets. We must always stop in this war. What happened to many of these individuals that came from Vietnam, we came addicted to drugs. We came addicted to violence. And you saw the violence come out. We haven't seen the results of this war yet when they all come home. So we must prepare for that. I want to talk a little bit about fair trade, because fair trade, I'm just throwing stuff out that the things that you can get involved in, fair trade coffee or fair trade products is something that we also need to be involved. And as students, people are looking. I've been to the mountains of Colombia and worked with the farmers out there and I've seen what fair trade does for that farmer. I've seen how that farmer, if he gets fair trade, that he can send his children to school. I've been to Kenya. I've been to Tanzania with the farmers out there, and by giving them a fair price for their coffee, what it will do to these families. The Veterans for Peace Action Team was one of the organizations that I belonged to. And what we did is we took veterans of foreign wars. I'm still trying to stick with in terms of war and veterans. And, you know, we went to Nicaragua to build water wells, to build medical facilities so that we could take care of them. Because as veterans, we felt that we had an obligation to undo the destruction that this country is doing throughout the world. So again, get yourself involved. And what I'd like to leave you with is that as you go about your day today, think about Sarah. Think about how. See, you're gonna have to work harder, because you have to care Sarah. Okay. Just like I work harder for my two brothers that got killed. I work harder for my 14 relatives that got killed. And I stress as much as I can for all those brothers and sisters that are incarcerated, I have to work harder. So all of you that really take Sarah's spirit into your heart, you have to work harder. And you have to be able to say, you know, how do we put out this energy and it doesn't become hate? A few years ago, someone threw a Molotov cocktail at my house and almost burned my family. It's hard to be a peacemaker. It's hard to be a peacemaker to talk about peace and when someone throws a Molotov cocktail at your family and almost burns your son, your daughter, and your grandson. And you want to act out. And I was angry. Yes, I was angry. But I have learned to be able to channel that anger in a different way. I have learned to forgive. I have forgiven those individuals that killed my brothers. I have learned those individuals that put a lot of hurt and raped my relatives. I have learned to try to forgive myself. That what Nani did, sometimes it wasn't Nani. I was influenced by a drug that took control of me. And but the last 19 years, I've been clean and sober. I had not taken a drink of alcohol or drugs. Mm-hmm. What I try to do in terms of Barrios Unidos is I try to tell the young people in the organization, you do it. You don't need me to be on you to tell you what to do. At the end of the day, you know whether you've done it or not. And that's the way it is. And I have, a lot of dispute with some of the directors because I don't like the way that they do business and how they talk to people because, I don't like people disrespecting me and I don't like to disrespect people. And so as you go about your day, think about all those things. Think about the sacrifices that some of your family did for you to be here. Think about those brothers and sisters that you know that are addicted to crack cocaine, heroin, and today meth. And I tell you, my relatives, man, stay away from that meth. I know what it does. I've seen how it's devastating. It's the worst drug that ever came that's devastating our communities. And in the name of all those individuals that have passed on in violence, I say, we must work harder. I love every one of you. Nobody's told you that they love you. I love every one of you because today I love myself. And today I get to cruise with my 12-year-old grandson in my 54 Chevy, And today, just want to say one, if you feel that you can't relate to what's going on, then do something about it at this university. And when I came here, we had 2 lowrider car shows, we had 2 gang fights, and we had 9 annual Chicano art shows because we wanted to bring our culture here. And we brought 1,500 lowriders to this campus, and we had a car hopping contest at the quarry. You talk about that, So, much love to everybody. Keep it going. Peace, everybody. Thank you. Muchas gracias. Keep it up.